Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talks Astros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right. I thought the Angels were supposed to just bow down and just let us go into the postseason. Just give us the, help us beat the Rays, catch up to the Rays. What's up? So we don't know what the actual score is, but right now we do know that the Angels put up a little fight right now. And Phil Maton had a little issues tonight. And Dusty Baker made a little decision that a lot of people are questioning late in the game. We'll have to talk about that and a whole lot more on tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. And you know what? You know who else talks about a lot of great baseball? Sully over at Locked On MLB podcast. And he's on YouTube. We're on YouTube. So go and subscribe to both the Locked On MLB podcast and the Locked On Astros podcast. Keep on subscribing, guys. We're up to 1.4K subscribers, or 1.44K, I believe, subscribers. So keep on subscribing, keep on liking, and we're reaching new heights, baby. So keep on doing that, or keep on listening to the Odyssey or Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast. We're having record-breaking numbers, and keep on listening throughout the playoffs, because we will be your source for the playoff talk after every game. So let's talk about this game. And I know that Luis Garcia had a little trouble in the first inning, but he does what he does in every game. It seems like he doesn't have his best stuff, but he ends up pitching six shutout innings, only allows three hits, three walks, one strikeout. This guy is not, he doesn't have his dominating stuff right now, but this guy knows how to pitch.
He doesn't know how to pitch. I mean, he has 161 strikeouts on the year, but his strikeouts have become fewer and fewer. His walks have ticked up a little bit, like you mentioned, but he finds a way. And that I think gives you confidence going into the playoffs with Luis Garcia, because the much bantered, the much debated conversation right now in Astros fandom world is, will Luis Garcia be one of the starters? Will he be a piggyback guy? Stuff like that. All those questions are being asked. And he has been one of your most dependable guys. He's in the rookie of the year hunt. You know, I really like Luis Garcia, even though he has the three walks. Like you said, he didn't give up a run. That's pretty
six
valuable.
Shutout innings. I'll take that any day.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't care if you have one strikeout or 10 strikeouts. And it just stinks, because when Maton came in, like, his stuff was hittable. When his stuff isn't hittable, he's got swing and miss, you know.
Okay. Before you start bashing him, I do want to take a step back. That first play, that was a little bit of bad luck. That did hit him. And yes, he was a little bit late getting to the first base bag, but that ball did hit him. Your first instinct when a ball hits you is not to say, oh crap, I need
but the thing is, I'm not even focused on that. I'm focused on three hits in a row.
Well, I know. But then that second, that double was barely over the third base. That they're shifted over there. Not that anybody would have caught it, but that was barely in foul territory. So that was a bad luck play. And then, so it was just a lot of bad luck in that
situation. Right. No.
So, I mean, yeah, that the look on his face was like, really? He didn't. Yes, I'm not saying he pitched great. He did not pitch great, but he pitched in a lot of bad luck in that situation. Anything that could have happened bad. And then,
right. And you know, sometimes that's, yeah. Yeah.
Graveman came in, and he's supposed to be that shutdown guy. He gave up that three run double. That was the killer to Maton's evening.
Yeah. And unfortunately, all five of those runs went to Maton. Yeah. So, I mean, he just didn't get, he didn't look sharp, and he's supposed to have swing and miss stuff. So the fact that they're getting these bloop singles or bloop doubles or whatever, it's because that bat is barely touching the ball. And that means that his spin rate is there, but maybe it's not where it needs to be on those pitches. You need Maton to be on, not to rhyme, on purpose. I'm serious. You do. You need him. Come on, man. You come up with stuff all the time. No, I literally just came up with that on the top of my head. So you need him to be on. You right. also need Kendall Graveman to follow up. And I don't know, like I noticed he's Kendall Graveman shaved. Well, I know he shaved. So I was like, oh, hey, he shaved. Like, he looks fresher. He looks, you know, maybe, you know, he went to the barber, got his beard trimmed. He's feeling good. He just, it stinks. But then Brooks Raley comes in and Brooks Raley gets two strikeouts. Brooks Raley is like your most is like your most trusted arm in the bullpen. We need all our relievers to be trusted right now. Like you said,
I have a quote from Brooks Raley before you move on.
Oh,
since,
really?
July 28th, he's allowed two runs in his last 16 and one thirds innings.
Okay, yeah.
So this guy has become who Dusty wanted him to be. His, you know, that always Dusty, well, always Brooks Raley every day.
Yeah,
Brooks Raley is right. That he's actually, well, you know, justifying now.
And whether it was Dusty or Strom or whoever it was telling, like saying, put him in these situations. Remember, he was being put in some really bad situations. He wasn't being put in favorable situations. Kind of like Christian Javier. Like people, I've been hearing people trash talk Christian Javier all day on the radio. The guy is literally not a bullpen pitcher. He is a starter. He's out of position. He's, I don't think, ever going to have success in that relief role, Eric. I think he's been doing it all year. And
he
what has he done all year? He's done terrible all year.
He should have adapted by now.
I mean, I know what you're saying. Some guys, can't make that adaptation.
I know. I've been saying that all year too, Brent. But by now, you should have adapted. It's like as a teacher, you're doing it you're doing it wrong. By the end of the year, are you still going to be doing it the same way, the wrong way? No, you're going to find some way to adapt your way. I know.
But part of the game's mental, and I just don't think – I mean, he doesn't look the same. I mean, he doesn't even have the same – that the whole invisible thing that I've written about more right. than once. He just doesn't have the same kind of, like, pizzazz that he had as a starter, the confidence, the number three in Rookie of the Year voting. I just think he's out of place. But right. with this team, you don't really have a place for him in the starting role. So
that's what I was going to say. You don't have eight starters. And right. The problem in the
the Astros have a 9-man rotation.
Yeah, the problem with the as a reliever is you don't have the need for all those pitches. You can't work on them effectively pitching once one inning or two innings at a time. And you just don't use it. That's just not what you do in a bullpen. You just go out there and throw like two or three pitches most. And so he just hasn't had time to really develop that. And he's focused. So I think that's what the issue is. He can't work between starts on what's troubling him. And he just has to go out there and actually compete. And you can't fix stuff when you're out there competing and trying to get people out. And so
lately he hasn't had a lot of opportunities. He's pitching every few days. And so, I mean, not few days, every 7 days, it seemed like where he had So I just think that there are some things they have to shore up. They have to take care of, and you're going to have to figure out who you slot where, when they start, who piggybacks, all that stuff. But you know,
you know what the biggest issue was today? Ryan Stanek is not available, and he's on the maternity leave, because this would have been a perfect time to bring in Ryan Stanek in the seventh inning and then bring in Kendall Graveman and then Ryan Pressly. Game over. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
I don't know. Not with the way Kendall Graveman pitched tonight.
He allowed one hit and a walk. He could have gotten himself. I mean, okay, Brett, he came in with bases loaded. That's not fair. That's not fair to judge him come in with the bases loaded. But that's not his fault.
Okay. But he's in that situation. He has to adjust and adapt, right? You see what I did there? You see right. what I did there?
No,
I used your words against you.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. You know what? You know what? You need to just get off the show and watch some DirecTV.
Yes, that's right. Wow, get off the show. That's an interesting segue. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. You've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get your entertainment you love without the hassle, and the great way to follow to finally get all your TV together. That's right. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
As the clock gets close to midnight and you start to yawn right there, a new mattress sounds really good. Tell us about yes. Nogco mattress.
So, a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star use this mattress. Why would I mention this? Because if elite athletes sleep on the Molecule mattress, why wouldn't you? And when they're calling it the best sleep ever, why wouldn't you? So you need to order yours today. Molecule sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch, not like your foam mattresses. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress or anybody's old mattress, and it keeps you cool at night. It has a zone reflex layer, and it adjusts to wherever you sleep, whatever position it keeps you from having a stiff neck or a sore back. So Molecule mattress is how elite athletes and the real people that want to sleep get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com.
All righty. So can we move away from Kendall Graveman, or you want to diss him a little bit more about coming in with bases loaded? I mean, that's a different situation. And I know he's a closer. He's supposed to be the guy coming in. And
yeah, he's supposed to be dominant. He has not been dominant a lot.
But it'd be a whole different situation if he would have come in the eighth inning, nobody on base. And it would have been a whole different situation. Would you agree with me?
Yes, I will agree with you.
Okay, so speaking of being a whole different situation, I don't understand what Dusty Baker did today. You have Yordan Alvarez, who has had a game. Now, I wouldn't say the game of his career. He's had some a little better games of his career. But he had his longest home run of his career, according to StatCast, which was 450 feet. And it was a blast. And even when you know how sometimes that – when you see the home run and then you have I'm so tired I can't even think of the guy's name who does the play-by-play on Sportsnet.
Are you talking about Blummer?
Todd Callis. I'm okay. So tired. But you know how he overreacts and he says, oh, yeah, it looks like it's going, and then it's a pop fly.
But, yeah.
But both him and Blummer were both like, oh, wow, that's gone. But Yordan Alvarez's home run, it was a blast. And they both knew it. And everybody knew it. It went up into the firm out there. And this guy is just, he's so powerful. And this was the fifth home run of at least 450 feet that he's had. And so this was actually the fifth time he's actually done it. And here's the pitchers he's hit it off of. You ready? It's Jason Junk. He's also done it against Lance Lynn, Humberto Castellanos, Matt Albanese, and Mike Minor. I was kind of hoping Mike Fiers is on there, but speaking of Mike Fiers, Mike Fiers is hit a little road bump, and he will not be.
Oh, yeah, he's done for the rest season. Of the year. Who cares about that guy? So, that guy's a loser.
But Yordan Alvarez had, actually, it was 500. was it 456 or was 500?
It was not 500. It was not 556.
I mean, 456.
Yeah, it's 456. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm seeing a whole bunch of different things. Maybe it was 456, and so I don't know. There's a lot of numbers in front of me, and I'm tired. So, StatCast lists a home run as 450 feet, but they said on the broadcast, they said it was 456. So, I don't know how far it was, but it was
I would trust StatCast over what Blummer and them said. What were they going off of?
I don't know, but this
it was doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter. It was a blast, but anyway.
So let's get to the interesting thing you're talking about with Yordan, despite having a double and a home run in the game. What happened?
He also had the RBI later game to tie the game.
Right, but what happened after that?
No, actually, he didn't tie the game. Somebody else tied the game, but he drove in Alex Bregman. But later in the game, in the eighth inning, after the Astros had tied the game. Then they went ahead, and after Alvarez had gone to left field, Dusty Baker said, "Hey, Alvarez, come back." And then they went ahead and put Jose Siri in.
That's right. So Brian McTaggart, I don't know if you saw his tweet, but he said that when they pulled him off the field, manager Dusty Baker and bench coach Joe Espada both talked to Alvarez when he came off the field. I wonder what's up. And someone was like, wow, that's a lot of information. it just seemed odd, Eric. I mean, you sent me a text.
It's a defensive replacement, in my opinion. I mean,
it must have been
weird. Right. It's weird. In a tie game, you don't take out your best hitter.
He's got three hits this game.
100 RBIs.
Yeah.
He reached 101 RBIs. He is the 17th player, I believe, if my numbers are correct, in Astros history to reach 100 RBIs. Mm-hmm. You don't take out your best hitter in a tied game. And it makes no sense, but at the same time, he's played a lot of left field. You want your best defensive guy out there in a tied game where they can walk it off when you have the runners. You know how they start off with stupid runners at second base.
Yes.
I sort of get it, but why not tell him?
I think I saw everybody questioning this. I think this is one of those moves where every single person, even the people that disagree with each other, are asking the same question. Everybody's just like, WTF? Like, why? What? You know, like, and I made the comment on the thread that I tweeted, like, I'm clearly not in the dugout. I clearly am not the manager. I don't know the discussion. So there's something we don't know. And at this point, it's speculation. I'm sure we won't get it before we end the recording, but I'm sure Dusty will be asked about it, and he may or may not be forthcoming. The Astros have not been the most transparent organization. Dusty has not been the most transparent manager, and information coming out of the Astros dugout is like getting information from the Russian Foreign Ministry. I mean, it's like, I mean, really? Like, what's going on? So we may know, we may not. And everyone's like, is he hurt? I was like, is he hurt? What's going on? And he jogged off fine. If
he
was hurt,
he would not be running to the field.
I know. So anyways, like you said, he had three hits today. It just seems like, why would you take out a guy that's smoking hot right now on the field and just pull them unless it is a pure defensive replacement. So it is what it is. Hopefully they can pull this game out and get a sweep for once.
At the same time, it's not like they're bringing in Tim Bogar or
Adam. I thought you were going to say Robel Garcia.
Robel Garcia, fine. If that's a better, more recent example for our recent.
Well, right. I mean, it would be weird if they brought in someone that doesn't belong out there, and then you would have been like, okay, something's wrong. But what's up?
I mean, I guess I would say Miles Straw, but I mean, that would be more of a defensive. But Jose Siri can hit. He can hit.
Maybe, and he's fast in the outfield.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same pedigree as Alvarez does. He doesn't have the same history as Alvarez does, but he can hit.
He's got still an OPS over 1,000. Like, right. 1,400, so.
But it's still a limited.
Yeah, it's still 1,400, so we're going to focus on the positive.
Actually, Siri is out of the game now, and Aledmys Diaz is in the game.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, that's
Oh,
okay.
yeah, we
Well,
must have missed that while we were doing that. So, Ledmus Diaz is in there. So, that was a what the heck situation. So, Chaz McCormick has played right field, then went to left field for one inning, then went to right field one inning. So, color me, I don't know. I really don't know. And I may do a special once they do. I may stay up a little bit just to see what Dusty Baker says after the game. Depending on how late this game goes, and I may just do a special short about Dusty's response for this,
good for you. I'm not.
or I
I'll
may
wait
wake
till the
up early
morning
in the morning to hear
because the
something.
Astros, bottom of the 10th, no outs, bases loaded for the Angels.
Yeah, that's not good. No outs with
With
Blake Taylor. Yeah,
Blake Taylor.
we got a chance. All
So you're
right,
saying there's a chance.
so Jason Castro was batting seventh. I know that you kind of mentioned before the
Yeah.
podcast. That's kind of weird. You're hitting him before Chaz McCormick. You're hitting him before Jake Meyers. But if you're looking at what's going on, both Chaz McCormick during this game are batting 256 and 258 respectively. They're kind of coming. Meyers is coming back to earth, so to speak. We knew he would. We knew that I knew he was going to come back a little bit. Does that mean that he's totally he's not going to be effective or anything? No, but in the I had it somewhere. In his last where is it? He's just struggled. I can't find it, but
Well, here's the deal. He's in the big leagues, okay? He was hitting the cover off the ball in AAA, okay? You come to the big leagues, you start hot. You kind of catch people by surprise. You're crushing the ball, hitting over 300, like around 320. And then, like you said, you come back down. Pitchers adjust. People have more film on you. They know how to pitch you better. And so, Myers is going to adjust. He's still a very young, a very new major league player. And but having him and Chas McCormick both as an option, Eric, I think is excellent.
I can't find it. Oh well. Speaking of Carlos Correa, he scored 7 runs. Do you know the other shortstops that got close to 100 runs?
100 runs, you mean on the season?
Yeah,
I have no clue.
it was very weird. It was Julio Lugo in 1993. I mean, he scored 93 in 2001. Miguel Tejada in 1992. Sorry. I'm getting everything backed up. In 2008, he scored 92. Tejada also in 2009 scored 83. And then Carlos Correa in 2017 scored 82. So that's how, so what Carlos Correa is doing this year is impressive. And like we talked about yesterday, he's going to earn his money. I would bet on that. And speaking of betting, let's talk about betonline.ag.
He is betting on himself, and we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron, and teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Hey, if you're going to NRG to watch the Texans and Davis Mills try to win their second game of the season, before you do, check out the new updated website and interface. Even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, baseball, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts, promo code locked on.
As Yimi Garcia comes in with the bases loaded with one
Oh
out,
my, are you serious?
I wonder, it makes you wonder, like, you need the right parts for your bullpen. Makes you wonder,
Yeah.
do you have the right parts for your automobile? So talk about
Or
rockauto.com.
should you just sell your car? With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible now to go to your local chain store. And they're clearly not going to stock all the parts. They're going to have to go through this endless, pointless process where they look on their computer and tell you, well, I can only get you this type of part from this manufacturer. It's a mid-level grade, and oh, since you're not a mechanic, we're going to upcharge you. Not at rockauto.com. It is the place to save time and money. You can choose to save 30, 50, 100% more, or you can choose to get ripped off by those local stores. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, to even new carpet. So we encourage you to go explore the website. Check out the fast and easy way to use it. Now, let me tell you this. You go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available at your car or truck, right locked on in there. How did you hear about us, box? And so they will know that we sent you amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
You know what was a I'm looking at yesterday's. Why am I looking at yesterday's game? Or wait.
I don't know, but there is one out now in the bottom of the 10th inning with bases loaded.
No, this is today. Oh, Junk started today.
Yes, Junk, yes. Junk.
It's got still the his, same game.
Eric, Junk got his junk hit by Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, this is the same game. Jeez, this is a long game. I was thinking that was yesterday.
It was yesterday. It's 12-12 as we're talking. Yes, it was yesterday, Eric. Welcome to the Twilight Zone, known as Locked on Astros.
All righty. So it was a good thing to see Jose Altuve getting stolen base today. I mean, it's he's only had 5 on the season. I know kind of with his knee issues of the past, so it's not a big part of his game anymore, but it's good to kind of see him get that stolen base. Jason Castro, he had a home run today. So that's good to see him kind of hitting some home runs, especially after having his knee issues. So we have Martin Maldonado getting hot. If Jason Castro gets semi-hot, we have a good catcher. We have the catchers getting a little bit hot going into the playoffs. Our outfielders are, Chaz McCormick's getting a little bit hot. Jake Myers getting a little bit cold, but that's fine. Okay. I'm okay with Myers. He plays a good enough defense to.
I think Myers is fine. Here's the thing. These young guys mixed with this group of veterans, not just any veterans. I'm talking about this group of veterans. Remember, Eric, we are the team with the most playoff games under their belt. And we only have 3 guys from that 2017 World Series team. So we're talking about a lot of guys from 18 on that have playoff experience in this clubhouse. That is a perfect mixture for these young guys because they rally around each other. They have a camaraderie. And I think they're, like I said, mark my words, the young guns are going to have an impact on this postseason.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of the young gun, let's kind of mention one of the older guns, which is Michael Brantley.
Is that what you call an older guy, an older gun? Is that what we are, older guns?
No, you're saying young guns. So I'm just saying, yes.
Okay. What do you...
How did Otani miss the base? How did you miss the base, Otani?
Okay, tell me what's happening.
He had the chance to win that game right there, and Otani missed the base.
He missed what base? Where is he?
I don't know. Home plate. Home base.
Okay. Home plate or home base?
Home plate. I'm tired. So he had the chance to it was a fly ball to right field. Okay. And I guess it's Chaz McCormick out there. So he threw the ball to, I guess it's Jason Castro there. And so Otani was standing up and he was trying to avoid the tag. And so he just totally went around the base and didn't tag it. And so,
Otani.
So it was just like, and then he tried to go back and tag it. And then it was just terrible.
And to update it, David Fletcher hits the ball in play, gets the out. The Astros and the Angels go to the 11th inning. Dude, defensive plays by McCormick and Castro. I'm telling you, this is Castro. A complete team.
Yeah, that may have been.
Castro is still, I believe. Castro.
Okay,
Castro's still in the game. No one, Martinez not come in the game.
I was focused on Otani. I was like, what the heck are you doing? Slide or something. Because he went in there like fully standing. I'm like, I thought that was over.
He probably didn't anticipate that throw to come out of right field. And so.
Because it was kind of foul ground. It was like on the foul line. And
something, Okay. Something that was finally confirmed to me tonight, because I've been wondering this whole time, and I've mentioned it to you before on the show about Chaz McCormick's swing looking a lot like the way his bat path is, and the way he rolls his hands over and finishes his swing is a lot like Bagwell. My guy Corey Hightower, he used to help me out with Stroh's 411, actually back on August 6th, he retweeted it, put a side by side comparison video. And it's hard to tell the difference. It's almost like a backwards Bagwell swing, where Bagwell would start standing up and go down, where Chaz McCormick is down and stands up. But their hands, when they come through the zone, they roll over the same. It looks like Jeff Bagwell 2.0. I don't know. It's kind of cool, especially if you're a big Bagwell fan. It's kind of neat to see McCormick's swing be so similar to him. Now, will he have a career like that? Who knows? He's still too young. I mean, he's already in his mid-20s, but it's just kind of a cool comparison for Astros fans. So pay attention to that next time you watch. Look at him and think you're watching Jeff Bagwell, and you'll have a hard time telling the difference.
All right, so going back to Michael Brantley before that big Ohtani, like the Angels are, I mean, I know they're...
The Angels are terrible, Eric. Yeah,
they're terrible. Ohtani is a great player. Don't even get me wrong,
best players.
That was a terrible play there.
That was a bad play.
Dusty Baker said that Michael Brantley is in a fair position and is not quite ready to return.
Does that mean he's standing between the foul lines? Like, what does that mean? He's fair. He's fair. Come on, Dusty. Get rid of the pina colada and the pineapple drink and the straw hat and quit BSing us. Just tell us. Just say no, he's not ready. He's not ready. Or just, you know what? Say what most major league teams won't say. We're resting him for the playoffs. We're making sure he's healthy for a playoff run. You know, because I think they've used some excuses this year to hide some pitchers and save some innings. That's all I'm saying. That's my speculation, Eric.
Right, so Diaz is at third base with one out now with a sacrifice fly from Yuli Gurriel.
There you go.
Looked really good, but the center fielder was able to track it down. So Alvarez is the 17th different Astros player to drive in 100 runs.
Yeah.
Do you think you can name them all?
Definitely not, but I can name Jeff Bagwell. I'm trying to go back to all my Astros people that have 100 runs in a season.
Okay,
Carlos Lee, is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did Moises Alou do it?
Yes.
Okay. Jose Cruz?
Did
he ever do it?
No.
So what about Cesar Cedeno?
Yes.
Jimmy Winn?
Yeah. Yes.
Joe Morgan?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. Craig Biggio?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Actually, no Biggio. No.
Okay. Richard Hidalgo?
Yep.
Okay. Miguel Tejada, he never got to 100, did he?
Tejada, no.
What about Jeff Kent?
Yes.
Okay. Lance Berkman?
Remember, he had that one season where he had 18 home runs and then 100 RBIs.
What about Lance Berkman?
Yes.
Morgan Insberg?
Yes.
Nice. Yes. I'm on a roll. Let's see. And of course I just drew a blank. Glenn Davis never got 100, did he?
Yes,
he did. Okay. The big popper,
I think he
man.
Did it with like the 30. He had a 30 home run season.
Yeah, he was. Line. Yeah, he was a man. I love Glenn Davis. Okay. Are most of the players more recent? Like give me an era, 90s era.
Lee May, then you have Jimmy Winn, I think he said.
Okay,
Carl Everett.
What about Bob Watson?
Bob Watson is who I was about to say. Derek Bell, ring my bell.
Now did I say Lance Berkman?
Yes, you did.
Gurriel. Okay.
You said Insberg, you said Davis, you said Cedeno.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Hey, I got...
You got
That's not
them.
Bad, Eric. I got most of them. Wow. Pat myself on the back if I could. My shoulder's sore, but Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, that's the thing about this team. We may not have the best like career record, but we have had some absolute studs come through this ball club. What's going on? Tell me.
Hey, update me. Hey, by the way, I just want to say it is Carlos Correa's birthday today.
And, oh, yes, it is Carlos Correa's
birthday. And he is up with runners on first and second and third. And wouldn't it be nice for him to have the big hit on his birthday? So while we're watching him do this, I do want to kind of talk about Jake Odorizzi. He said that he is ready to come back. And he said, I'm ready whenever they want me to slot me in. I don't know when that quite is. We're figuring it out. I think it might be changing daily. Who knows? You never really know. All I know is I'm ready to go. When my 10 days was up, I thought we would be good to go. We're good to go. And the 10 days it being up would be Friday.
And that was because of COVID?
No. Remember, he had the foot issue.
Oh, I completely forgot about him leaving the game with – that's right. Okay, now
he
I remember.
He had a strained foot or something like that.
And that is another big discussion. And, you know, Eric, I've been talking about it on Twitter the last couple of days. Okay. So I know that I've been talking about it for a couple of days. I know people think that I'm insane. And when I say, well, hold on. When I say Odorizzi and Greinke are starters, Greinke, I think, is pinned in. Odorizzi, the only reason why I think he gets in there is because you're paying him what you're paying him, and he's a veteran. I just have a hunch that they're going to pull something like that, give him a real short leash, piggyback someone like Luis Garcia or Jose Urquidy, where I think Luis Garcia has earned it, and where I want Jose Urquidy to get the start. I mean, Luis Garcia to get the start. I just think that there's going to be some veteran pitching moves that a lot of fans aren't going to agree with. And I may be completely wrong, but I just, from people that I talk to that like watch the major leagues, that have scouted these minor league players, that have talked to these coaches over the years, they say those are moves that you see typically in playoff series. Now, do I want Odorizzi or Luis Garcia starting? I want Luis Garcia starting every time. But his seniority and the fact that he has an incentive-laden contract going into next year just tells me, I mean, they didn't pay him $30 million for nothing, Eric. They didn't pay him $30 million to not be on the roster. He's going to be on the ALDS roster. He's not going to be left off. He may get a start. And there's a lot of people that, and I don't think they really hammered me for it, because I'm not saying I'm necessarily a fan of it. I just think that there's going to be some moves that you see, or that we see, that we're going to be like, kind of scratching our head. But we have to trust that they put the Astros in the best position to win, because that's ultimately the goal, right?
Yeah. And speaking of the goal, Ryan Pressly hit his goal today. This was his 60th appearance of the season, meaning his $10 million option for 2022 has fully vested. So welcome back to Houston, Ryan Pressly.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I love Ryan Pressly. Yeah, I love Ryan Pressly, Eric. He really has proved me wrong. Do you remember me doubting him moving to that position? Yeah, I was just, because he had those few closing like opportunities that he didn't do too well, like, because he was used to being the setup guy. And do you think that there's some truth or something to people saying that Kendall Graveman doesn't like being the setup man, and why he's struggling?
That goes back to the mental thing. That goes back to what Giles had when he first came to the Astros, and the whole Luke Gregerson versus when AJ Hinch said, no, Gregerson is my closer, even though you traded for Ken Giles. And then Ken Giles is like, no, I'm a closer. I don't pitch in the eighth inning. I pitch in the ninth inning. So what the fudge are you doing?
I've got the word grave, man.
And so, I mean, that may have something to do with it. I mean,
I'm just wondering, because when he first came over, Eric, he looked dominant. I mean, everyone's like, he's homesick. He's not homesick. His first 2.5 weeks, he was great. And he's literally done a 180. He's literally done a 180 performance-wise. I hate to see it, because I think he's a very good pitcher.
The only thing I can think of is the Astros have stepped back and said, you do you, boo. And I think the fact that
I can see Dusty saying that. You do you, boo.
And he just hasn't. I mean, I'm not saying that a professional athlete hasn't tried to improve himself, but I think that he is either the Astros have tried to fix him and they've not broken him, but they've maybe did something, changed him that adjusted
that something. He, or, you're right. They may. You're right. I didn't think about that. It may be something mechanical, and
or yeah. They haven't adjusted something since he's come over, and he's just. I don't. There's something up. He's just not the same dominant person. Maybe I don't know what's going on. Maybe the Mariners were using him a certain way. So, guys, that's all we're going to do for tonight's show. And fortunately, we cannot tell you a victory, but who wins the game or not. But maybe we can do a short tomorrow and say, hey, the Astros won, or hey, the Astros lost. And I'll definitely do a short sometime tomorrow that explains why Dusty Baker took out
but Jordan Oakland. Edwards. Oakland did lose. So that's
the magic number is down to three. Does that mean?
I guess I don't think we have to lose. No, actually, also, I think if they lose, it goes down to three. And then if we win, it goes down to two, right? Is my baseball math off? We were trying to end this show and I got you thinking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that depends if they're the same amount of games away. So. Yeah, I'm just watching the Ohtani play. We'll talk about it later. So anyway, that's all we got for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you keep on subscribing and make sure you keep on listening to the audio version on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow with another late night edition of the Locked On Astros podcast.